We now return to Saturday's UN Security Council meeting, where the topic of discussion was the U.S., U.K., and French attack on Syria Friday night.
Mr. President, Kazakhstan expresses its serious concern about the sharp escalation of the situation around Syria. We call on all parties to prevent the further military escalation and take effective steps aimed at restoring confidence, establishing peace and ensuring security in the long-suffering land of Syria on the basis of the UN Charter and the relevant resolutions of the UN Security Council. We called yesterday and the day before yesterday and every time when we observe the increasing tensions in this chamber to act responsibly in accordance with the UN Charter and international law. Who else, if not the Council members, should show to the world an example of compliance to the principles and provisions of the Charter? We are preaching others to strictly follow the international law and order, but sadly, yesterday we witnessed a different example. Whatever action taken under whatever good pretext cannot and will not justify military use of force. Violence against violence would never bring peace and stability. Kazakhstan's position has always been and continues to be that military action is the last resort to be applied only in cases approved by the Security Council. There was no approval of this Council of the military strikes that took place yesterday. Humanity hoped that the 21st century would herald a new era of global cooperation. This, however, may turn out to be a mirage. Our world is once again in danger, and the risks cannot be underestimated. The threat is a deadly war on a global scale. Our planet is now on the edge of a new Cold War, which could have devastating consequences for all humankind. This is an exact quote from the manifesto of my president, entitled The World, the 21st Century, of 31st March 2016. And just yesterday, Secretary General, Mr. Antonio Guterres, confirmed to us, to our regret, that the Cold War is back with a vengeance. Kazakhstan appeals to parties to be adherent to both the UN Charter and international law. We think that the time has come for serious talks, encouraging the United States and the Russian Federation, given their standing as the co-chairs of the International Syria Support Group and their respective influence on the parties, to move actively in the direction of finding a middle ground and political settlement of the conflict in Syria. The UN has a vital role in convening those negotiations and helping the parties resolve their disputes. My delegation is also greatly concerned by recent developments and the absence of unity among Security Council members over the chemical attack in Syria. Starting from the first days of its independence, Kazakhstan, through practical actions, has consistently promoted peace initiatives on the international arena aimed at disarmament, non-proliferation, and prohibition of weapons of mass destruction, including chemical weapons, and strongly condemns their development, testing, and use. I repeat, Kazakhstan strongly condemns the use of chemical weapons. It is important to conduct a thorough, objective, and impartial investigation into all aspects of the alleged chemical attack in Duma, which will make it possible for the international community to render a fair verdict against the perpetrators in full compliance with international law. The government and other parties must thoroughly execute their obligations of complying with the relevant recommendations made by OPCW and the UN by accepting the personnel designated by them while providing for ensuring the security of activities undertaken by the personnel. We would like to remind members of the Council that the principal position of Kazakhstan is not only the most severe condemnation of the use of WMD by any party, especially against the civilian population, but also the resolution of conflicts exclusively by peaceful means. Our President Nursultan Nazarbayev, in his manifesto I mentioned at the very beginning, stressed that the main tool for resolving all disputes between the states should be only peaceful dialogue and constructive negotiations on the basis of equal responsibility for peace and security, mutual respect, and non-interference into domestic affairs. Avoiding any escalation and ending any sort of wars are the most challenging task, which has no reasonable alternative. This task has to be treated by the world leaders as their highest priority on the global agenda. We also have to respect the sovereignty of states that are states, members of the UN, and the purposes and principles enshrined in its charter. So we urgently need a political solution. Only a political diplomatic approach, dialogue, and CBMs in the spirit of charter and the United Nations Security Council documents on preventive diplomacy and sustaining peace can bring proper results. We therefore call upon the international community to exert political will to overcome the differences and reunite in negotiations, believing that only UN-led political transition in accordance with the Council Resolution 2254 could lead the way out of the Syria conflict, which in turn could only advance if the Council is united. There is a strong need to continue supporting the aims of the Astana talks and further Geneva negotiations in order to see positive outcomes. All parties at the international, regional, and Syrian level should support an immediate ceasefire and seriously and objectively move forward without any preconditions within the framework of the International Syrian Support Group under the auspices of the UN in Geneva. We believe that the Syrian people are capable of determining their own future. However, achieving their aspirations for democracy, reconstruction, and stability is impossible without genuine international support for containing the negative impact of the spoilers and helping Syrians combat terrorism in Syria and build their own state on a firm and stable foundation. Kazakhstan had always stood for dialogue and resolving international conflicts, and all parties must ensure that the situation did not further deteriorate. Military means will not work, and only political solution would succeed. My president warned that in any modern war, there will be no winners, since everyone would be on the losing side, and proposed to work towards total elimination of war and achieving world without conflicts. Finally, we resume our call on all relevant parties to persist in diplomatic efforts, seek political solutions, stick to dialogue, and support the UN as the main mediation channel. Kazakhstan is ready to work with all colleagues to preserve peace and security on the basis of mutual understanding, goodwill, and determination to make a world a safer place. I thank you.
Le agradezco al representante de Kazajstán por su declaración y le doy la palabra al representante de Polonia.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to thank Mr. Secretary General for his briefing. Mr. President, Poland views recent events in the context of the repeated chemical weapons attacks against Syria's civilian population and as a consequence of the impunity enjoyed by their perpetrators so far. The lack of an appropriate response encourages more attacks with the use of weapons which are both banned under international law and blatantly unhumanitarian. In such circumstances, the international community cannot remain inactive. It should take all necessary measures to prevent such attacks from being repeated in the future, especially against a defenseless civilian population. At the same time, the competent international bodies should take decisions that will enable identification of the perpetrators and bringing them to justice. Mr. President, we fully understand the reasons behind the action taken last night by the United States, the United Kingdom, and France against the Syrian chemical weapons capabilities. And we support this action intended to deter further chemical weapons attacks against the people of Syria. Let me underline that it is primary UN Security Council responsibility to set up an investigative mechanism to examine the use of chemical weapons in Syria. In this context, we reiterate our disappointment with politically motivated Russian veto on the proposal for establishing an independent, impartial investigative mechanism on the use of chemical weapons in Syria. Mr. President, Poland will continue its international efforts aimed at the complete elimination of chemical weapons. The use of such weapons is unacceptable and should be prosecuted vigorously in every circumstances and anywhere they are used. Poland calls for refraining from actions which could further escalate the situation. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'd like to thank the representative of Poland for the statement and give the floor to the representative of Sweden.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Thank you very much, Mr. President, for convening this important meeting, and thank you, Secretary General, for your briefing this morning. The conflict in Syria is now in its eighth year. That's longer than the Second World War. President Assad bears the responsibility for one of the worst and most enduring humanitarian disasters of our time. Since the outset, we have witnessed terrible violations and violence and a flagrant lack of respect for international law, particularly from Syrian government forces. We must also, of course, never forget the atrocities committed by Daesh. As you, Secretary General, stated yesterday, we have witnessed, and I quote, systematic violations of international humanitarian law, international human rights law, and international law, tout court, in utter disregard of the letter and the spirit of the UN Charter. End of quotation. Indeed, violations of Security Council resolutions as well as international protocols and conventions are numerous and flagrant. Mr. President, chemical weapons have been used repeatedly in Syria. The Joint Investigative Mechanism concluded that the Syrian authorities were responsible for 4 chemical weapons attacks and Daesh for 2. Their use is abhorrent, intolerable, a war crime, and a crime against humanity. That is why, as has been noted here before, the international community banned their use in international armed conflict over a century ago. Subsequent developments have confirmed the prohibition of the use of chemical weapons as a norm of customary international law. We will spare no effort to end the use of proliferation of chemical weapons by state or non-state actors anywhere in the world. Those responsible for such crimes must be held accountable. There cannot be further impunity. Mr. President, Security Council carries the primary responsibility to act in response to threats to international peace and security. It is our joint responsibility to uphold the prohibition of the use of chemical weapons in armed conflict. And it is our common legal and moral duty to defend the non-proliferation regimes that we have established and confirmed. This is best done through true multilateralism and broad international consensus. In that regard, we welcome the deployment of the OPCW's fact-finding mission to Syria, and we look forward to their findings. Mr. President, it's regrettable that this Council was unable to come together and agree on a timely, clear, and unified response to the repeated use of chemical weapons in Syria. We regret that Russia, this week again, blocked the Council from setting up a truly impartial and independent attribution mechanism. This has contributed to the situation in which we find ourselves now. The use of chemical weapons is a serious violation of international law, and it does constitute a threat to international peace and security. Deterrence and prevention of their use is the concern of the entire international community. So we share the rage and anger and are appalled by the repeated use of such weapons in Syria. It is necessary to rid Syria of chemical weapons once and for all and to hold those responsible accountable. At the same time, as stated by the Secretary General in his statement yesterday, there is an obligation, particularly when dealing with matters of peace and security, to act consistently with the Charter of the United Nations and with international law in general. Mr. President, we are at the dangerous moment. We call for restraint and to avoid any acts that could escalate or further fuel tensions. We need to avoid the situation spiraling out of control. Over the last number of days, we have tried to ensure that all peaceful means to respond were exhausted. We worked tirelessly so that no stone be left unturned in efforts to find a way for this Council to shoulder its responsibility in accordance with the UN Charter. We have shared a proposal with Council members to achieve this objective through inviting the Secretary General to come back to the Council with a proposal. In order to be successful, diplomacy needs to be backed up by clear demands. The Secretary General called on this Council to take action, but regrettably, the Council could not unite. It was indeed a missed opportunity, but we stand ready to continue these efforts now. In light of all that has now happened, it is more critical than ever to avoid escalation and revert to the track of diplomacy for political solution in line with Resolution 2254. We reiterate our total support for the UN-led political process, which needs to be urgently reinvigorated, and the efforts of Special Envoy Staffan de Mistura. Full implementation of Resolution 2401 for a cessation of hostilities and humanitarian access can wait no longer. A sustainable political solution is the only way to end the suffering of the Syrian people. So let's all rally around that objective. Let's redouble our efforts and put an end to this long, brutal, and meaningless conflict once and for all. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Le agradezco al representante de Suecia por su declaración y le doy la palabra a la representante de Países Bajos.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like to start by thanking the Secretary General for his statement today. And yesterday, as well as today, you spoke of the litany of horrors that the Syrian population has experienced in the past 7 years, and of which the chemical weapons attacks are amongst the most gruesome. The world hardly needs reminding of the unspeakable suffering that countless Syrian men, women, and children have endured, a suffering that comes at the hands of Assad and his allies. The Syrian regime has left the world no doubt as to its willingness to unleash terror on its own population. The repeated use of chemical weapons counts as the most cynical expression of this campaign. And just a week ago, the world was yet again confronted with reports of chemical weapons use, this time in Douma. All the time, the Russian Federation has left the world no doubt as to its readiness to stand by Assad every step of the way. And it has blocked resolutions in this Council which could have stopped the violence. I call upon all members of the Security Council to support a collective, meaningful response to the use of chemical weapons. But even if this Council fails to act, it should be clear to the world that the use of chemical weapons is never permissible. Mr. President, against the background of past horrors and the unabated risk of recurrence, the response by France, the United Kingdom, and the United States is understandable. The response was measured in targeting a limited number of military facilities that were used by the Syrian regime in its illegal chemical weapons arsenal. The action taken by these three countries made clear that the use of chemical weapons is unacceptable. Mr. President, last night's response was aimed at reducing the capabilities to execute future chemical attacks. But do not let the Syrian regime and the Russian Federation think for a moment that we will waver in our pursuit of full accountability for the perpetrators of past chemical attacks. We will not settle for anything less than an independent, impartial attribution mechanism so that the culprits of those heinous attacks can be identified and held accountable. And we call on the Russian Federation to stop opposing this. The use of chemical weapons is a serious violation of international law and may constitute a war crime or crime against humanity. The Kingdom of the Netherlands strongly believes that the international community must fully uphold the standard that the use of chemical weapons is never permissible. Impunity cannot and will not prevail. But should this Council continue to suffer from the paralysis inflicted by a single permanent member, we must not forget that the UN is bigger than this Council alone. We have strong leadership at the top of the United Nations organization, and we have a powerful General Assembly. Both have to consider all instruments to advance accountability for the use of chemical weapons. The Kingdom of the Netherlands welcomes every option to establish an independent and impartial mechanism, be it within the UN framework or within the framework of other relevant international organizations, as long as it results in a mechanism that can establish who's responsible so that subsequently the perpetrators can be held to account. Any new mechanism should build upon the important work of the GIM and the ongoing OPCW fact-finding mission. It is therefore crucial that the fact-finding mission has complete and unhindered access to all information, all sites it deems necessary to conduct its investigations with regard to the attack with chemical weapons in Douma last weekend. Mr. President, the international norms against the use of chemical weapons must be respected, and the Syrian people must be relieved from the violence, hardship, and injustice that has haunted them for so long. To that end, we call for a political solution and immediate cessation of violence, as earlier agreed upon by this Council, as well as full, unhindered, and immediate humanitarian access. We reiterate our determination to achieve justice for the victims. We need to collectively stand up for the fate of the Syrian people. The need to collectively stand up for the fate of the Syrian people is now more apparent than ever. Thank you, Mr. President.
I want to thank the representative of the Netherlands for the statement, and I now give the floor to the plurinational state of Bolivia.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Agradecer al secretario general por su presencia, por su participación en esta sesión. Bolivia agradece a la Federación de Rusia por haber tomado la iniciativa de convocar esta reunión de emergencia.
Hoy
es un día oscuro en la historia de este consejo. Tres miembros permanentes han tomado la decisión.
Three permanent members of the council have taken the decision to breach the Charter of the United Nations and take military action against the sovereignty and territorial integrity of another member state of our organization.
Bolivia desea manifestar
de manera clara to clearly and categorically express its condemnation of the use of chemical weapons or chemical substances as weapons, as this is unjustifiable and criminal wherever it happens, by whomever. Their use is a serious crime against international law, international peace and security. Those responsible for committing such terrible and criminal acts must be identified, investigated, prosecuted, and punished in the most rigorous way possible. Bolivia continues to demand a transparent and impartial investigation to determine who are the culprits. But in addition to that, as the topic of this meeting is the fact that three permanent members of the Council, as I said, have
en violación de la Carta
used force
Unidas.
In breach of the United Nations Charter.
No se puede combatir la supuesta violación del derecho internacional.
You cannot combat the alleged violation of international law by violating international law.
Bolivia está sorprendida
is surprised
por el hecho de que
by the
los
fact
miembros permanentes
that the permanent
una mayor
members of the Council, given that they have a greater responsibility for maintaining international peace and security, have decided to bypass or bypass United Nations when it suits them. They defend multilateralism as long as it serves them, and then they simply discard it. When it is no longer in their interest, they're no longer attached to multilateralism.
Y este no es el único caso en el que lamentablemente se han utilizado acciones unilaterales.
Unilateral action has been used.
Recordemos y no nos cansaremos de recordar los sucesos en Irak, el año 2003, y en Libia, el año 2011. Toda acción debe ser autorizada por el Consejo de Seguridad de acuerdo con la Carta de las Naciones Unidas.
Toda acción unilateral es contraria al derecho internacional, así como a los valores y principios de la Carta de las Naciones Unidas. Bolivia rechaza el uso o la amenaza del uso de la fuerza. Is unacceptable. Bolivia rejects the use of force.
Las acciones unilaterales responden no solamente a intereses específicos,
respond to the specific interests of those who
sino que son
carry
them
out. But in
fact,
there are measures that,
imperialistas,
and allow me the expression, are imperialist measures.
Sucede que los imperios, como decíamos en otra intervención,
it so
se creen moralmente
empires,
superiores al resto del mundo.
Earlier, consider themselves superior to the rest
se creen
of the
excepcionales
world.
Y se
they
creen
think that they're
indispensables.
They think that they're
y por tanto, se creen por encima de la ley,
hence,
se creen por encima del derecho internacional.
Above international law.
Pero en realidad el interés
fact,
de quienes utilizan unilateralmente la fuerza y violan la Carta de las Naciones Unidas no es el de avanzar la democracia, no es el de avanzar la libertad, no es el de luchar contra el uso de armas químicas. Combat the use of chemical weapons.
Their goal is expand their power and expand their domination.
Lo que hemos presenciado en las últimas horas, what we have witnessed
over the past few hours,
es un ataque contra la misión de la búsqueda de los hechos desplegada por la OPAC,
against the fact-finding mission of the OPCW, which hasn't even started work that was scheduled to begin today.
El ataque unilateral es un ataque contra las organizaciones multilaterales, como la Organización para la Proscripción de Armas Químicas, la OPAC.
The OPCW.
Es un ataque contra este consejo, contra su tarea principal de mantenimiento de la paz y seguridad internacional.
Maintaining international peace and security.
Es un ataque contra la Carta de las Naciones Unidas y es un ataque charter. Contra toda la comunidad internacional.
An attack against the entire international community.
Me pregunto,
I'm wondering
a esos miembros permanentes que han utilizado la fuerza hace pocas horas.
Permanent members,
¿cuánto dinero han invertido en armar y entrenar
how much money they invested in arming and training the armed groups in Syria?
¿Detrás de qué recursos naturales están?
They are behind which
¿con qué autoridad
national
moral
resources
podrán hablar de la Carta de las Naciones Unidas en otros
authority
casos?
Can they invoke the United Nations Charter in other situations?
Es larga la historia.
The history, unfortunately,
of
violations of the principles and purposes of the Charter is long. We mentioned Libya, we mentioned Iraq, but there are more recent chapters.
What
happened with the unilateral decision regarding
Jerusalem
is another clear signal of a lack of respect for international law. Who are those who sell weapons to those who bomb civilians in Yemen? Who are those who rejected the Paris Agreement, the climate agreement? Who are those who stepped away from other international agreements? Who are those who build walls?
But
we also believe
hablar sobre la historia larga.
Estamos
viviendo las consecuencias, sobre todo en el Medio Oriente, de los estragos provocados por algunas de las mismas potencias hace más de un siglo.
Experiencing the consequences in the Middle East of the actions provoked by certain colonialist powers dating back to a century or more.
Lo mismo que se vive en el marco del desprecio al derecho internacional ahora en Siria.
That we're experiencing in Syria, and complete disdain for international law, is also something that we are seeing when, for example, the United Kingdom refuses to return the Malvina Islands,
their sovereignty to Argentina,
or when the Chavos archipelago issue is not resolved,
when
the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice on this topic is not heeded. In other words, we are talking about a whole range of policies that undermine international peace and security.
Representante permanente de los Estados Unidos dice que los Estados Unidos, su país, están listos para disparar.
Is ready,
and loaded.
Is locked and loaded,
supuesto,
she says.
Escuchamos claramente
of course,
sus palabras,
we clearly
con mucha preocupación
heard
y con mucha
her
tristeza.
Words with a great deal of concern and a great deal
sabemos
of sadness.
Que ellos tienen
we know
aviones,
that the United States has
sabemos
aircraft
que ellos
carriers,
tienen satélites,
that they have
sabemos que ellos tienen, entre comillas,
that they
misiles
have,
inteligentes,
quote-unquote, intelligent
sabemos que
missiles,
tienen un arsenal
smart
de armas nucleares.
They have a huge arsenal of nuclear weapons.
Y también sabemos que tienen un desdén.
And we also know that
por el derecho internacional.
They have nothing but scorn for international law.
Pero nosotros tenemos esto.
But we have this.
Tenemos los principios
we
y
have
los
the principles
de la Carta
and purposes
de
of the United Nations Charter.
Y al final,
and
como la historia
ultimately,
muestra una y otra
as
vez,
history has
final,
demonstrated many times,
van a
ultimately,
prevalecer.
These principles will prevail. Thank you very much.
Agradezco al representante de Bolivia por su declaración y le doy la palabra al
representante de Kuwait. Call on the representative of Kuwait.
شكرا سيد الرئيس في البداية نتقدم بالشكر للأمين العام
Thank you Mr. President Allow me to begin by thanking the Secretary General Mr. Antonio Guterres for his briefing at the beginning of this meeting Kuwait is convinced and is committed to the principles and objectives of the United Nations, and respect for sovereignty of states and non-interference in the internal affairs and the peaceful settlement of disputes. The Charter in Article 24 has determined the responsibility of the Security Council in the maintenance of international peace and security, and it can act on behalf of member states in order to carry out that mandate. In Article 25, stipulates that the members agree to accept and carry out the decisions of the Security Council. What we have seen in the Syrian crisis is a stalemate of the international community's efforts and a flagrant violation of our resolutions. We have followed quite closely and with great concern the most recent developments in Syria as a result of the most recent military operations in response to the use of chemical weapons by Syrian authorities in accordance with international law, and we see that this is as a result of the stalemate in the Security Council and our inability to arrive at a political settlement to this bloody conflict in Syria that has lasted for more than 7 years and has led to massive displacement and the death of hundreds of thousands of people and major destruction of infrastructure in many towns. Mr. President, the chemical weapons file for some time has had a unified approach within this council. We have condemned the use of any chemical weapons in Syria, regardless of the party which has used such weapons. Moreover, the Security Council adopted resolution 2118 unanimously, a resolution which imposed measures under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter. In the case of non-conformity by the various parties with the provisions, and if chemical weapons were to be used in Syria, these are internationally banned weapons, as we have said. In order to guarantee the implementation of that resolution, the Security Council in August of 2015 was able to adopt Resolution 2235, establishing the Joint Investigatory Mechanism, the JIM, in order to determine responsibility of any crime in the use of chemical weapons in Syria. And in point of fact, that mechanism did identify the authors of that crime on a number of occasions. But the unfortunate divide in the positions of the Council encouraged the parties in this crisis to pursue the violations of resolutions for international legitimacy and in violation of international human rights and international humanitarian law, as well as related Security Council resolutions, including the most recent resolution 2401. That resolution was adopted unanimously by this Council. And it called for a cessation of hostilities immediately and to allow for humanitarian access to the besieged areas. But that resolution, humanitarian resolution, was not implemented. The state of Kuwait regrets this escalation and calls on us to overcome our differences within the Security Council and to restore unity of the Security Council so that it can shoulder its responsibility in the maintenance of international peace and security in accordance with the UN Charter. We also call to overcome the gap existing to establish a new independent and professional mechanism which would investigate the use of any chemical weapons in Syria to determine who is accountable for the use of those weapons, and we are ready to participate in any effort aimed at achieving a compromise among the positions of members of this Council to ensure that those who are responsible for this crime will be held accountable and will be punished, and to preserve the non-proliferation regime. Mr. President, it is certain that there is no military solution to the Syrian crisis. We must further our efforts in order to save the Syrian people from further suffering. We reiterate our position, position of principle, which is in line with the position of the League of Arab States, and we call upon Syria to guarantee the sovereignty, territorial integrity of Syria, to put an end to violence and to the killing and to save lives of Syrian people and to reach a peaceful settlement under the auspices of the United Nations on the basis of the first Geneva Communique 2012 as well as Resolution 2254 through a process of political transition which would enjoy the involvement of all Syrian parties so that the Syrian people can achieve their legitimate aspirations. Thank you. I thank Kuwait for his statement and I now give the floor to the representative of Ethiopia.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to thank the Peruvian presidency for responding quickly to the request for the holding of this meeting. And we want to express appreciation to Russia for putting the request. It would have been a serious dereliction of duty on the part of the Council if it had failed to meet in light of what had transpired yesterday. We also thank the Secretary General for his briefing and for being here. For those of us elected members of the Security Council, the responsibility is indeed extremely heavy to the point of being unbearable. We are here, let's not forget, representing 193 countries to whom we have made, unlike the permanent members, so many promises, but which in general are encapsulated in the Charter of the United Nations. For those of us members of the African Union, an organization which for obvious historical reasons attaches huge importance to scrupulous adherence to the principles of the Charter, the obligation we have to tell the truth and stand up and be counted for peace is just enormously heavy. All the more so when the parties involved, from our own national perspective, are friends. Mr. President, it was only yesterday that the UN Secretary General urged member states to act responsibly in these dangerous circumstances and stressed the need to avoid the Syrian situation from spiraling out of control. And indeed, he repeated the same today. We also have been repeatedly expressing our concern that the dynamic in Syria could lead to devastating consequences not only nationally, but regionally and internationally. No doubt, the strike undertook by the three countries yesterday appears for the moment not to have led to the spiraling of the situation out of control. We do not take that lightly, even though it might be difficult to take it in light of the potential danger we still face as a consolation. That is why we call for maximum restraint, the exercise of wisdom, as well as a quick return to dialogue among the major powers that have enormous influence on the current situation in Syria. As we have stressed yesterday and earlier, it's absolutely vital to resume the path of diplomacy. The alternative, no doubt, would be catastrophic beyond our imagination. We hope nobody wants to see that happening, but it could if we do not act together with a huge sense of urgency to diffuse the current tension and reduce further military escalation. Mr. President, by no means do we overlook the genesis of this tragedy we are facing. It has to do with the alleged use of chemical weapons in Douma. At least that's what ratcheted up the tension leading to what took place yesterday, which is difficult to defend as being consistent with the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. But there is also one point which makes it difficult for us to understand what took place yesterday. The fact-finding mission of the OPCW is arriving, or, as just said by the Secretary General, has already arrived in Syria to investigate the alleged use of chemical weapons, which is the cause of all this tension. In light of that, we have to be excused if we were a little perplexed, Mr. President. While the priority of the time is clearly averting the further escalation of the latest development, we are not underestimating, even now, the importance of ensuring accountability for any confirmed use of chemical weapons in Syria. In this regard, the OPCW fact-finding mission should be allowed to conduct a thorough investigation to establish the facts related to alleged chemical weapons attack in Douma. The sustainable way to end impunity, which we believe is extremely important, is to deter, stop use of chemicals as weapons, is through a united and concerted action, including through setting up an attribution mechanism that this Council could and must take. This has become all the more critical now when, as we all know, truth is becoming very difficult to establish. And the opportunity has been created for parties and even individuals to claim the veracity of their own facts. We know we are all disappointed by the current deadlock. But that should not justify overlooking the obligation to adhere to the principles of the Charter. Let me conclude, Mr. President, by referring to what the Secretary General has said yesterday. I wanted to refer to it again because it reflects the truth and therefore is worth repeating. The Cold War has returned with vengeance, he said. But this time, it's not being managed. That's why we have to appeal to the members of the Security Council, especially the permanent five, to help create a situation where diplomacy would have the upper hand and the primacy of politics would be our guide for coming out of what is a troubled moment in our recent history. The Geneva process and Special Envoy de Mistura needs the unqualified support of the Council. Thank you, Mr. President.
Le agradezco al representante de Etiopía por su declaración. Le doy la palabra al representante de Guinea Ecuatorial.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Señor secretario general Antonio Guterres, muchas gracias por vuestra declaración. En la declaración que acaba de darnos y que nos ilustra claramente sobre el punto de vista de las Naciones Unidas sobre esta cuestión. Indudablemente, lo acaecido anoche no ha constituido sorpresa alguna para ninguno de este Consejo de Seguridad. Solo quedaba saber el día y la hora. En efecto, como lo indicamos ayer en nuestra intervención, nos preocupaba la retórica que estábamos escuchando y expresamos nuestra preocupación hacia dónde nos iba a llevar. Pues nos ha llevado a donde teníamos y a donde no deseábamos, a los ataques militares contra Siria. Ayer en esta tribuna, el señor secretario general de nuestra organización, Antonio Guterres, hablaba de la memoria de la Guerra Fría. En efecto, la Guerra Fría ha vuelto con fuerza en la última madrugada, recordando a los pueblos del mundo la confrontación de intereses existentes entre dos bloques. La República de Guinea Ecuatorial ha seguido con suma preocupación los informes sobre los ataques realizados por Estados Unidos con apoyo de las Fuerzas Armadas de Francia y Reino Unido. Según estimaciones, la coalición disparó más de 100 misiles de crucero y misiles aire-tierra desde los dos buques de armada estadounidenses emplazados en el Mar Rojo,
missiles from two U.S. Navy vessels in the Red Sea, as well as from two tactical aircraft overflying the Mediterranean and B-1B bombers from the Al-Tanaf base. In a coordinated fashion, the coalition attacked three targets, which included a scientific research center in the outskirts of Damascus, an installation located to the west of Homs, which according to Washington was a production site of the sarin gas and a command post near that installation, Mr. President.
Han sido contra el capítulo quinto de la Carta de las Naciones Unidas y de los principios y normas del derecho internacional. Es preciso recordar que según el artículo 24 de la Carta, el Consejo tiene la responsabilidad primordial de preservar la paz y la seguridad internacional. Los miembros del Consejo deben abstenerse, por tanto, de generar situaciones de inseguridad y desequilibrio. Señor Presidente, el Consejo de Seguridad no debe destacar y descuidar que estos ataques puedan conllevar consecuencias imprevisibles y potencialmente dramáticos para Oriente Medio, incitando o justificando el desarrollo de programas nucleares con el objetivo de prevenir cualquier agresión futura. Los especialistas de la OPAC se encuentran ya en Duma para proceder a las investigaciones. Hasta que no dispongamos de pruebas fidedignas y contundentes del supuesto ataque químico llevado a cabo la semana pasada en Duma, la República de Guinea Ecuatorial es de la opinión de que cualquier agresión no debe ser justificada. Asimismo, nuestra delegación reitera que según lo estipulado en el artículo 33 de la Carta, que para toda controversia susceptible de poner en peligro el mandamiento y el mantenimiento, mejor dicho, de la paz y la seguridad internacionales, es un imperativo tratar de buscarle solución ante todo mediante la negociación, la mediación u otros medios pacíficos. Señor Presidente, la historia sigue enseñándonos que las intervenciones militares nunca han solucionado los conflictos, sino más bien los multiplican y los eternizan, creando la desolación y la ruina. Debemos procurar que ello no vuelva a ocurrir en el caso de la República de Siria. Y volvemos a señalarlo. La intervención militar en Libia, en 2011, y sus consecuencias hoy en día deben constituir una clara lección a la comunidad internacional. La República de Guinea Ecuatorial es contraria al uso de la fuerza en las relaciones internacionales y solo admitimos su uso cuando está de conformidad con los principios del derecho internacional y de las disposiciones de la Carta de la ONU. Y en el caso de la situación en Siria ya dijimos que no aportaría ningún cambio sustancial a la situación global en el país. Reiteramos que el acuerdo político es la única forma viable para encontrar una solución definitiva al problema sirio. Todas las partes involucradas deben resolver sus diferencias mediante diálogo, concertación y consultas. Y ese proceso necesita del apoyo de la comunidad internacional. El fracaso de la diplomacia únicamente agrava el sufrimiento del pueblo y es la máxima expresión del fracaso de este Consejo de Seguridad. Guinea Ecuatorial sigue pensando que para esclarecer totalmente lo ocurrido en Duma el pasado 7 de abril, se debe llevar a cabo una investigación exhaustiva, imparcial y objetiva para llegar a una conclusión confiable. Instamos a la misión de determinación de los hechos de la Organización para la Prohibición de las Armas Químicas a realizar rápidamente una investigación e informar sobre sus conclusiones lo antes posible ante el Consejo de Seguridad, al igual que volvemos a insistir sobre la urgente necesidad de crear, bajo los auspicios del señor secretario general, un órgano de investigación profesional independiente y transparente que pueda atribuir la responsabilidad y la autoría de la utilización de armas químicas, a fin de que dichos autores, sea quien sea o quienes sean sometidos a la justicia internacional. Solo de esta forma, esta espinosa cuestión podría encontrar consenso y la voz unánime de este Consejo de Seguridad.
Unity and consensus
Señor Presidente,
back to the
finalizo
Council.
Mi intervención repitiendo la postura sin equívocos de la República de Guinea Ecuatorial, que es la de condena sin reservas de la utilización de armas químicas, sea quien sea el que las utilice. Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Le agradezco al representante de Guinea Ecuatorial por su declaración y le doy la palabra al representante de Côte d'Ivoire.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Monsieur le Président, la délégation ivoirienne remercie Monsieur le Secrétaire Général pour sa présence et pour son exposé sur les derniers développements de la situation en Syrie suite aux frappes aériennes menées par certains membres du Conseil de sécurité dans la nuit du 25 vendredi 13 avril 2018. La Côte d'Ivoire demande à l'Assemblée des acteurs impliqués à divers niveaux dans le conflit en Syrie de faire preuve de retenue
to demonstrate restraint
and to
refrain from further complicating an already disastrous situation in which the Syrian people find themselves.
Les armes et les bombes ont trop
frappé
la Syrie.
Bombs have
au mépris des fondements de notre
suffer too much
in
disdain
de la paix.
Of our the
Monsieur le Président,
the foundation
est-il besoin
of our
collective
de action in favor of peace?
Mr. La Charte des Nations Unies,
do I need to remind everyone that by signing the United Nations Charter in 1945, the founding members of the United Nations
sought
to establish a new global order based on multilateralism
et sa volonté de faire de la
and
paix
the determination
commun,
to make
dont la préservation
a universal common good,
and
the preservation of that peace was entrusted to the United Nations and to the Security Council in the framework of its primary fundamental responsibilities. The Secretary General just reminded us of that.
Dans toutes les circonstances où elle a guidé l'action de la communauté internationale,
where the United Nations Charter guided the international
de la Charte des Nations Unies,
the respect for the principles
nous a
of that charter
de
has always allowed us to overcome the most complex challenges and has made it possible to avoid a great deal of disasters for humankind. It is based on our deep conviction in the virtues of multilateralism that my country believes that the use of force in order to preserve international peace and security must be authorized by the Security Council in order to endow that action with the necessary essential legal authority and thus avoid any excesses and abuses.
Seul le Conseil
only a Security Council that is strong and that represents the interests of our time will be capable of mobilizing all the member states of the United Nations in support of its primary responsibility of maintaining international peace and security.
Côte d'Ivoire
would therefore like to express our deep concern regarding the inability of our council to relaunch the dialogue in Syria and to sideline the partisans of a military solution.
Monsieur le Président,
Mr. President,
la Côte d'Ivoire would
like to take this opportunity,
pour réitérer sa condamnation sans réserve
to reiterate our unequivocal condemnation of the use of chemical weapons, no matter who is responsible, and we call on the establishment of a multilateralism mechanism to attribute responsibility and to bring those responsible for the use of chemical weapons to justice in the appropriate international tribunals. In this context,
qui sera menée par la mission d'établissement des faits de l'Organisation pour l'interdiction des armes chimiques en vue de faire la lumière
in order to shed all possible light on the allegations of the use of chemical weapons in Douma in Eastern Ghouta. Côte d'Ivoire once again urges the members of the Security Council to unite in order to put an end to their differences and to affect the establishment of this mechanism to establish responsibility that all the members of the Council would like to see set up. Mr. President, Côte d'Ivoire would like to reassert its conviction and its position of principle that the response to the crisis in Syria cannot be a military response. Quite to the contrary, it must be sought in the framework of a dialogue and an inclusive political process as envisioned in the roadmap contained in Resolution 2254 of the United Nations Security Council. The time has come to resolutely give every opportunity to dialogue and to make sure that our Council is in step with history. Thank you very much. I want to thank the representative of Cote d'Ivoire for your statement.
I
shall now make a statement in my capacity as the representative of Peru. Peru notes with great concern the development of events in Syria. In the face of military action, as a response to information on the use of chemical weapons against the civilian population in this country, we reiterate the need to keep this situation from spiraling out of control and causing a greater threat to stability in the region and a threat to international peace and security. Peru condemns any use of chemical weapons, which is an appalling crime. And for that reason, we have supported the urgent deployment to Syria of an OPCW fact-finding mission, as well as the establishment of an attribution mechanism which is dedicated, independent, objective, and impartial. And we regret the stalemate in the Council and our inability to take a decision on this issue. Peru encourages the UN Secretary General to redouble his efforts in accordance with the prerogatives entrusted to him in the Charter in order to help resolve the stalemate in the Security Council and to establish the aforementioned attribution mechanism. Peru believes that any response to the crimes committed in Syria, as well as a solution to the conflict in Syria, must be consistent with the UN Charter, with international law, and with this Council's resolutions. As the Secretary General has reminded us, this Council is the body with the primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security, and it is up to its members to act in unity and to uphold this responsibility. Peru joins the Secretary General's urgent appeal to all member states to act with restraint in these dangerous circumstances and to avoid any act which could escalate the situation and worsen the suffering of the Syrian people. My delegation reaffirms its commitment to continue working in order to achieve sustainable peace in Syria, to guarantee protection for the civilian population, and to ensure that there is no impunity for atrocious crimes, as well as to help defuse
retomo ahora mis funciones
Thank
como presidente
you.
Del Consejo de Seguridad.
My function as president of the Security La representante... Council.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, CommunityPublicRadio.org. I'm your host, Don DeBar.